Anyway, let's begin the journey here. Welcome to Journey Church. By the way, has anybody ever seen this show on TV? It's a show. It's on Discovery Channel, and it's kind of out of Australia, but it was actually taped in, I think it was in San Francisco. Then they moved back there to Australia. But anyway, 17th season, and basically, the whole idea behind this show is that they get together, and what they do is they test and see if widely held beliefs or ideas are true or false. So there's all these widely held beliefs or ideas that come their way, and they put it to test to see if it was true or false. And if it's proven to be false, they say what? Does anybody know what they say? Everybody together, busting, okay? So what I want to do with this in mind this morning is I want to bust a myth. And this really isn't so much a sermon today as it is just a talk that I want to have with you as we go into this new year. And what I want to do is I want to bust a myth that I believe is very popular in the culture in which we live. And here's the myth today that I want to bust in our church, in our lives, as we go into a new year. Here's the myth. Let's look at it. The myth is this, that we live with many times, is what we do is more important than who we are. That's the myth. What we do is more important than who we are. And I want to make it clear when I say what we do, I'm not talking about your behaviors, I'm not talking about actions, but when I say what you do, I'm referring to things like, what do you do for a living? What's your occupation? What's your responsibility? Maybe what is your title? What's the position that you hold? And that could be here at home, it could be at what do you do at work, what do you do even in the church, what do you do? I mean, what are your responsibilities, your position, what's your occupation? And here's the tragedy is sometimes we fall into this trap that we place greater importance on this. We place greater value on the things that we do instead of who we are as a person. And I hope this is going to really sink in. And let's just take a second real quick to pray. Father, we just pray right now that you'll speak to us. I pray you give us ears that hear and minds that understand. I just pray that these would be God moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? So think about it, especially guys. I think this is real common. The first time you meet another guy and you're talking, what is one of the first questions that we ask each other? A lot of times one of the first questions is this, hey, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? Meaning, hey, what's your occupation? What's your title? What position do you hold? And why do we do this? Because these things are important in our culture. Actually, what we do is we begin to identify ourselves. We identify ourselves by our occupation, the things we do, our responsibilities. And here's what I want to tell you. If you're not careful, that could be a very dangerous place when you put your identity in what you do. I want to say that again because I want everybody to hear me. It could be very dangerous when you place your identity in what you do, okay? So I don't want you to get me wrong, and that is that I don't want you to think that what you do doesn't matter, because I want to let you know that what you do does matter to a point. I think it's very important that we're competent. I think it's very important that we have a skill set where we're improving, because I believe that's vitally, vitally important. For example, how many people, when you go to a doctor or a dentist, that you want that doctor and that dentist to be very competent, right? Some of you, the rest of you don't care, okay? You want your doctor to be competent. Even when you go to a restaurant, you want your cook to be competent. You want them to have high skills. Even your waitress, you want a competent waitress, okay? Why? That's important. I was thinking about our trip to Honduras. I don't know about the rest of them. I can't speak for anybody else on the team, but I want the aircraft mechanic who worked on our plane most recently, I want him to be a person who's competent, highly skilled, because I don't know about you, but I don't want that plane to come down until it's scheduled to come down, right? By the way, that's the difference between a landing and a crash. Some of you are like, what was that all about? That's what I'm talking about, okay? So I want the people in my life, the people where I seek their services and seek their skills, I want them to be competent. And hopefully, whatever you do, what is it that you do? Hopefully, whatever you do, that you want to develop your skills, that in what you do, you want to increase your effectiveness. For example, one of the things that I do as somebody that stands in front of people and shares God's word and communicates, one of the things I find myself doing very often is I listen to other pastors preach, and I really enjoy it. And so a lot of times I'll either pull out a podcast or I'll go online and listen to a sermon, or I'll even go to another church and visit, because I know that there's a lot of guys and a lot of gals that do things even better than I do. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get better at being a communicator. So that's why one of my favorite people to listen to is actually a guy named Rich Wilkerson Jr., who pastors a church in Miami, Florida. I think he's probably the best, hands-down preacher of God's word that I've ever heard. So I love listening to him. His podcast comes up. I've subscribed every Monday morning. Rich or his wife, Don Cherie, they get up and they speak. And I love listening because they're so good. And I think, Lord, what can I learn from them? Or, Lord, what do you want me to receive from your word? Okay. Another person I've been listening to a lot is a guy that many of us probably know because he has a mega church right across the border here in Minnesota. His name is Bob Merritt. How many people have heard of Bob Merritt before? I have learned from him. He is the master of knowing how to tell a story. Has anybody ever heard Bob speak? He's just a master storyteller. And I say, okay, Lord, I'm not a good storyteller at all. But he always has a story and people lean in. And it becomes so emotional. It's powerful, okay? So I'm like, Lord, how can I get better at my craft? And I hope that's what you're asking for yourself. Or I'll read a lot of leadership books. Because when I went to Bible college, leadership wasn't a big deal. Now leadership is the buzzword of churches. We need leaders. We need leaders. So I got to read. So we got to improve our craft. So what is it that you do? Are you getting better at what you do? Are you competent? Are you increasing your skill? Are you working on that? Because there's a couple verses that tell us in the Bible that we should give attention to this. For example, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat or whatever you drink, and then he says, hey, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So he's saying, hey, yeah, what you do is important, and when you do it that it would bring God glory. So what is it that you do? What is your occupation? What is your responsibility? Are you doing it for the glory of God? Here's one other favorite verse I have. Colossians 3:23 says, hey, when you work, work willingly at whatever you do. I mean, do it willingly, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. I love that. So whatever you do, he's saying, hey, do it for God. So have you ever had that approach that today I'm going to work? It's Monday again. And what I'm going to do today, I'm not going to do it for my employer. Yes, I am doing it for them. But ultimately, what I'm doing is I'm doing it for God. Meaning my thought is, instead of just dragging into work for another day, for another paycheck, why don't you go to work and do it with excellence? Why don't you do it with passion? Your employer would love if you came to work and did things with excellence and passion. I'm suggesting, what would it look like for you to go the extra mile? What would it look like for you to stop cutting the corners and going the extra mile? What would it look like if you showed up on time? There's a concept in America today, show up on time. And when you show up on time, work hard. I keep telling young people when I come in contact with young people, hey, if you want to find favor with your employers, if you want more hours because you're complaining that you're not getting enough hours, just start by doing two things. Show up on time, which means be 5 minutes early, right? And when you're there, work hard, and your employer will notice. It's very, very important. So I want to encourage us. Let's be the best at whatever we do, okay? Because I believe this. This is my personal conviction. As Jesus followers, if you said yes to following Jesus, I really believe as a Jesus follower that you should be the best at whatever you do. Because you're not doing it for man. You're doing it for who? You're doing it for him. You're doing it for God. You're doing it for the one who gave you the skill, the ability, the intuition, the one who gave you the talents, the gifts. You're saying, God, you gave me all these things, and today I'm going to go to work. And today it's not just about a paycheck. And I know we need a paycheck, don't get me wrong. But I tell you what, God, I'm doing this ultimately for you. So I want to encourage you as you go into a new year. We go into a new year. You may have a few days off here in the next couple days. Good. You've worked for it, enjoy it. But when you go back to work on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe next week, I want to encourage us, let's be the best at what we do. Amen? If you're driving a UPS truck, you got to be like Bob Campbell. You got to be the best. How many people know Bob's the best at what he does? Running out of the truck, not walking out of the truck, running out of the truck. drives by the church. What do I hear every time? Toot-toot. I know, hey, Bob's working. All right, I'm Jack. Bob's working, okay? So, Bob, I don't mean to embarrass you, but what you do so well. How about you? What do? Do you do it with passion, with excellence? You say, I'm a mother. Hey, that is a life-changing what you do. Amen? Let's do it. Let's give it everything we got. But here's the most important part. That matters. It matters. It matters. But here's the whole truth. And this is what I want you to see this morning. Who you are is more important than what you do. Who you are is more important than what you do. And I want to clarify that. When I say who you are, I'm referring to your inner self. I'm talking about the inner life. I'm talking about it's kind of made up of a combination of your character. It's also made up of the condition of your heart, who you are. Because I want to read that again. Who you are is more important than what you do. Yes, we have already decided that what you do is really important, but there's something more important, all of us, and that is who you are as a person, your character, the condition of your heart, okay? And here's why this is important. You got to see this. It's so amazing. Who you are as a person will always, everybody say that word together, always, have a larger and longer impact on those around you than what you do. Who you are as a person will always have a larger, much bigger, much longer impact on those around you than what you do. See, I'm not saying that what you do won't impact others, because it will. Many of our jobs impact other people. We talked about Bob. What he does impacts people. Bob, that package impacts people. You know what I mean? It makes a big difference. All of what we do, it impacts people. So that's to be said. But who you are as a person will always have a larger and longer impact on other people. Now, I want that to sink in this morning. Some of you may need to write that down. You say, well, I don't take notes. I say, write it down anyway, because that's really important that we remember this. So your inner life, your character, and the condition of your heart, let's just take a couple different scenarios. Scenario one, what if you are inside, you're ugly? You're full of things like unforgiveness. You're full of bitterness. Maybe there's hurt in your life that you haven't dealt with. Maybe you're a person that's filled with worry, fear, things like anxiety. Maybe your life is just chaotic. It's filled with chaos. Maybe you're insecure. You're an insecure person. So let's think about that. If that describes you, any of those or all of those, let me ask you the question, what kind of impact will that have on those around you? Will that impact be negative or positive? Does anyone want to step out on a limb and give me the answer? Will that be a negative or a positive impact? Anyone? Negative. And here's the thing about that negative impact. It will be larger and last longer on those around you than what you do. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what size of house you live in, what vehicles you drive. This is what will impact people larger and longer than anything else. Who you are as a person. You could be the best at what you do, but if you don't have this right, we need to back up the truck and we need to consider what's going on inside of us. And by the way, if any of these things described you, as there's things in your life that are hurtful, that are ugly, things that need to be fixed, I want to just highly suggest that swallow your pride and why not get some help? Why not get some help? I'm thoroughly convinced, and I'm not doing this myself, so I'm saying something that I'm not doing. I think it would be wise for every person to have somebody you can go to for help. Have somebody you can go to as a counselor. And when I say counselor, I really think it's important that that's a counselor that is biblically based, spirit-filled person that's going to give you the right direction. Why? Because if we don't take care of these issues, folks, inside of us, they don't stay inside. They work their ways out. And they begin to impact all those people that we love the most, our spouse, our children, our grandkids, the people we work with, the people we go to church with. It doesn't stay inside. There's just no way that happens. It doesn't stay within. It gets out, and it gets all over other people, and that's the kind of impact. So we got to worry. We got to think about, not worry, that's not a good word. We need to consider what is the condition of the inside of our lives. What's our character look like? What's our heart look like? Because on the other hand, if you have character and a heart that is filled with things like love, peace. Here's one: acceptance, patience. You're compassionate, you're kind. You're a person that overflows with encouragement. You have joy, just to mention a few. Let me ask you the question. What kind of impact do you think that's going to have on those closest to you? Does anybody want to step out on a limb? It's going to have a positive impact. It's going to be positive. And that positive impact will last much larger, will be much larger and last way longer to those closest to you than what you did for a living. What you did for a living. Because here's the deal. Our interior life is reproduced in our exterior life. And I think that's really important. I know that I need to look in a mirror and say, Mike, what's the inside? This is what you do, you pastor. But that's not the most important thing about me. The most important thing about me is who I am as a person. And my family would say what? Amen. They're not impressed with me being a pastor. They don't wake up and say, "Woo, Pastor Mike, give us some great wisdom and insight for the new day ahead." That doesn't happen at my house. At my house, what would they rather have? They would rather have somebody that's full of love, peace, acceptance. I know I'm preaching to my family today, amen. They'd rather have somebody, they don't care how big the church is. Does Mike have joy? And see, the reason why I'm preaching a lot of this week is because God's revealing some of these things in me. And there's been times in my life that I'm much like you, and I place more emphasis on what I do than who I am. And that is sad, sad. I want to show you something. I'm going to skip over a verse here. Has anybody ever seen this guy before? Does anybody have a clue who that guy is? No, it's not T.D. Jakes. Close, but here's who that guy is. This guy is the LeBron. He's the LeBron James of pastors. He is. He's the LeBron. His name is John Gray. John Gray, okay? John Gray is probably the busiest, most sought out communicator, speaker. Endless invitations. Come to our church, John. Come to our church. He's actually pastoring two churches at once, one on a Sunday morning and helping out at another church on a Wednesday night. I mean, when you talk about communication of God's word, he's what the young people would say. He's the bomb, okay? This guy's incredible. And here's his incredible family. That's John Gray, and that's his wife. Her name is Nolan Avatar, and that's their two wonderful kids. The reason why I bring that up, Christmas Day, for Christmas, this is the book that Nolan bought for me. This was Nolan's Christmas gift to me. Book by John Gray. And the book's called Win From Within. It's not a self-help book. He talks about the life of Jacob, how you can lose inside and miss it, okay? And here's the first, I want to read to you the first paragraph of the introduction. It's right here. This is John Gray's wife. "I'm leaving you. I'm packing the kids. I'm getting in the car, and I'm going to my mother's house in Alabama. I won't tell anyone, but John, I'm not staying." So here's a guy that if we were to look at outside success, he's the LeBron James of pastors. He knows what he's doing. He has a gift that's incredible. His mind is second to none. Busy, 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 running everywhere. But finally, his wife said, "John, you're missing it somewhere, and you're missing it with me, and you're missing it with the kids. John, you may have it. Everybody knows what you do, but who you are needs some work." Can anybody say, wow? I mean, that's powerful. And what I want to tell you today is this, that you could be the best at what you do. You can be labeled as successful by other people. Things could be thriving in your business, your work world. You can have it all together. People look and say, "Wow, you look really great." But I tell you what, if you're missing it in who you are, you can experience some of the greatest failures. Are you hearing me this morning? And my challenge to you, to each of us, as we enter into this new year, my challenge is, would you consider investing more time and energy into who you are? Would you consider coming up with a plan that I'm going to be put more time and energy into who I am? My challenge is, let me rephrase it a different way. My challenge is, would you make room for spiritual growth? Would you make spiritual growth a greater priority this year? Because that really determines who you are, spiritual growth. Work on that character. Work on the condition of your heart. Are you willing to grow spiritually this year? And I want to let you know, if you say, "Yes, I want to grow spiritually," I want to let you know it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be always easy. You must be willing to say yes to some things you've never done before. Because we all know the definition of insanity, to do the same thing, and we expect what? Different results. But if you're going to expect spiritual growth this year, and you're going to expect there to be a change and become a different person, it's going to take work. It's going to take effort. It's going to take you coming up with a plan. Have you thought even about a plan for the new year? Do you have a spiritual growth plan? I hope some people are saying yes this morning. I have a spiritual growth plan. I know my family, we had a plan last year. All four of us, we have the one-year Bible. So our spiritual growth plan is a family that, even while Grant was at school, there's readings in this for every day. And we stuck to it. We only have today and tomorrow, and we're going to be able to put it away. It's going to be awesome. No, I'm only kidding. It's been great. Do you have a plan? You have a plan for your work, I guarantee it. You have a plan in so many other areas, I guarantee it. But my thought is, have you stopped and thought, okay, as I go into 2019, I want a spiritual plan of how I'm going to grow. I have a spiritual plan of how I'm going to work on who I am as a person, how I'm going to work on my character, the condition of my heart. Do you have a plan? And I want to let you know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to take you to do things you've never done before. And I don't care if you're the oldest person in this room or the youngest person in this room, God wants to do amazing things in your life this year. He wants to do more than you want to see happen. I mean, that's how great God is. But you're going to have to come up with a plan. So what I want to do with just a few minutes we have remaining this morning is I want to share with you some ideas, things that you can do that might help you to grow, okay? Is everybody open to some ideas? Say, you betcha. Okay, here's an idea. You can get these online. You could probably get it. Bob could probably order to you by tomorrow, okay? Get a one-year Bible. Poor Bob. I'm sorry you came to church today. But here you go. Your spiritual plan. Does your spiritual plan, here's a great way to start. Start saying, I'm going to have a daily quiet time. And my quiet time is going to include Bible reading and prayer. I'm going to have a plan. This is going to be my designated place. This is going to be my designated time. Why? Because I want to change who I am inside. By the way, if there was another way that you could grow, I would give you another idea. But this is hands down the way God intended for us to be in His Word. Amen? How many people know God still speaks today? For example, it's amazing how it works. Today is what? Does anybody know the date? 30th, right. You're on the same page as all of us. Okay. December 30th. If you don't think God speaks to you through your word, through His word, you've missed it. So today I'm reading, I'm eating my bagel at the breakfast. And today's reading, Malachi 1 through Malachi 2, verse 17. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not going to get much from Malachi. But I sat there and I started reading Malachi, and he started talking about husbands' relationships with wives. How many people know that got my attention? He said, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to your wife, the wife of your youth. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, you're talking to me right now. You're telling me to remain loyal to the wife of my youth, to raise godly kids. And I'm thinking, God, you're speaking to me right here on December 30th in my kitchen, eating a bagel, God saying, Mike, get your act together. You're a good husband, but be a great husband. You can't tell me God doesn't speak in every day. If you'll spend time in His Word every day, He'll speak to you. God will speak to you. You say, well, I've read that book in the Bible before. Come on, folks. How many people know you could read the same verse every day, and God will give you some different insights? He'll speak to you. And as He speaks, our hearts begin to change the condition of our heart, our character. So maybe you want to commit to a daily Bible plan. Maybe you'll commit to saying, hey, God, here's a great one. Everybody has a phone. This is your time to take it out. Everybody take out your phone, if you have a phone, especially a smartphone. This is very practical this morning. On your smartphone, you can download a free app. It's called YouVersion. Has anybody ever participated in YouVersion Bible? Raise your hand if you have YouVersion on your Bible or on your phone. How many people know on that, you can go to the bottom and it says plans. And it tells you all the plans you can find. Different reading plans about marriage. Different reading plans about, I'm reading one right now on fasting. I'm reading one right now on prayer. Right now I'm reading three different reading plans on this. and one is on prayer fasting, and one is on being a good leader. Folks, we live in a time where there's so much information right at our fingertips. Just recently, there was a handful of eight guys from men's ministry that went through the same program together, the same reading plan together. And then each day after they read, they commented. Folks, this is a wonderful tool. Why don't you get together, guy or young lady or folks, get together and say, hey, why don't we do a reading plan together? I know of two ladies in our church that beginning in January, they're going to do a Bible study together. Two ladies in our church have said, hey, one approached the other and said, hey, can we do a Bible study together? And I think the name of the Bible study is What Do You Do When Your World's Turned Upside Down? That's good for all of us, isn't it? And I can't wait to hear the different reports from those two ladies, what God's doing. But here's the thing, folks, we got to come up with a plan, and what a better time to start a plan. Maybe you had no plan all the way up to this point in time in your life. Your plan could be a baby step. You can take 5 minutes to read a devotional on your phone. You can take 5 minutes. I'm not asking for boatloads of time. I'm just saying, will you start somewhere? Because here's why all that's important. And by the way, another step you can take is we have Alpha coming. I got to give a plug for Alpha, right? We start on January 28th. And I tell you what, if you take Alpha, it's a big commitment. It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. But I guarantee you, if you take Alpha, there's going to be the potential for you, for God to do some things in your life that you've never seen before. And why do I bring all this up? I bring all this up because of who you are as a person will always have a greater and longer impact on those around you than what you do. So why don't we be wise and why don't we invest in our spiritual walk? Why don't we invest in becoming the person that God wants us to be? Doesn't it just make sense? Does it make sense to you that this is important? Because I tell you what, people aren't going to remember you. They're not going to be at your funeral saying, wow, he was the CEO of 3M. I've been to a lot of funerals, and I've never heard anybody mention a job. Wow. He owned his own business. And everybody got up and said, wow, wasn't he amazing? What I hear at funerals is they'll talk about who they were as a person. He was loving. He was a kind father. She was a mother who served her family. Those are the things that you hear. So how do you want to be remembered by your children, your spouse, your grandchildren? How do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as the guy that, I don't want to be remembered as a pastor. You want to compliment me at my funeral? I told Heather, by the way, don't even have a funeral. Just tell people he left. He's not here anymore. That's my plan of attack. Save the money. You don't need to buy anything. Just Heather, people ask to say, he's no longer here. And she said, if you think that's going to happen, you're crazy. But anyway, Mike Pastor, no, I want to be remembered as, you know what, he wasn't a perfect spouse, but he was kind. He cared for me. I want my boys to think there's times he had some rough edges, but we know that he loved us. What you do is important, but what's more important is who you are, your character, the condition of your heart. My mother's been passed away now. I think it's going on like 18 months that my mother's been away now at home with the Lord. Over Christmas, I was looking at Heather's Facebook account, and my niece, Claire, who's about 18 years old, she made a comment about my mother that had me in tears. Claire was about ready to drop out of high school, give up on school, and every time my mother came over to Claire's house, she's a big girl, she's like 5'10", 5'11", she would sit on my grandmother's lap, and my mother would just tell her how much she loved Claire. And she told Claire, hey, stick with it, finish school, you got to do this. Now Claire has graduated, and she has direction for her future. And her Facebook posting was, I know Grandma would be so proud. Why was it? Because of what Grandma did? She never worked outside the home. My mother never worked a single day outside of our home. She was a mother. And she loved people. We don't remember her for what she did. We remember her for who she is. And the same thing is true for every one of us. What you do is important, but who you are as a person is more important. Amen? Can we bow our heads and pray? So if that's the truth, let's invest. Let's get this thing figured out. Let's make some investments. Let's put some time into being that person that God would want us to be. I think it just makes sense, Lord. So Lord, I just pray as we jump into 2019 here in 2 days, yes, we'll be the best at what we do at work and what we do at home. What we even do in serving in the church will be better. But Lord, most importantly, I pray that this will be a group of people. That when we sit in the same service at the end, at 365 days from now, that there's people that say, you know what, I grew this year. I grew spiritually. I'm not the same person as I was at the end of 2018. And Lord, it's just not going to happen because we want it to happen or we snap our finger. It's going to take us being intentional. It's going to take us having a plan of attack. And God, I just pray that you'd be at work in our lives, that we would come, that we would spend this next 48 hours coming up with a plan of attack. What am I going to do different? What baby step? What's my next step I can do different so God can work in my heart and in my character? And Lord, we give you this time, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. So I leave you today just saying, hey, I pass the ball from me to you. It's in your court. It will require your involvement so God can do what he wants to do. So let's stand to our feet. God bless you. Have the best week. Enjoy New Year's.